Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch Two Fortresses, one starring Christopher Lambert, the other one starring a bunch of kids from Australia. All in today's There Can Be Only One podcast. Welcome to There Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the exact same title and determine which one deserves the title and throw the other one a new title. Something that we've come up with, something a little sassy, you know, whatever we got. Joining me today are...
Herman Omega Brown Davis.
And David Petrano! Turn down my levels! I'm always loud! Now they're all the way down. And
no. Bring me back. Bring me back. I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
Oh yeah, my name's Rob Rao. I didn't say that, but anyway, we've got two movies. Neither one I've seen. I don't think anybody here has seen either one of these.
No,
things.
Have not seen none of these movies.
Nope. Although I'm very familiar with the works of Stuart Gordon. Only he's more of a. It's fun to talk about the guy than actually watch his movies some of the time. He's one of the.
Not when he's in the room.
He's got
that's rude.
He's got one of the three, the Stuart three on the Flophouse. He did Castle Freak, so he's.
Ding Dong Gate.
He yeah, the Castle. What?
It's a movie called Castle Freak where a dude ripped his own dick off, and if the somebody else tells you different because that's actually what that really didn't happen in the movie, they're wrong.
Yeah, they are
because he ripped his dick off.
It's written on the back of the box. That's how they advertise.
Dim ripped his dick off.
Potato Head impersonation.
There's a scene in the movie where there's a prostitute that finds the Castle Freak in question, and she's slowly working down the body and then goes down and just total Ken doll right there. And that's why everybody says, oh, well, you ripped the dick off sort of thing. You know, it's just implied that it's gone. That's all it is.
You sure he didn't do that Silence of the Lamb thing where he just tucked it?
No, I don't think so.
Do
you believe all Ken dolls are just perpetually tucking?
Yeah.
I mean, one day you're just going to make them walk.
That's what penguins do, right? That's why they walk that way. It's just the waddle, waddle, waddle because they're tucking the whole time.
Yeah. Now I want to watch a remake of March of the Penguins with what is it, Robert?
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill, the wild horses playing.
Oh, goodbye, horses.
Goodbye, horses. Thank you.
Yes, my bad.
And so the penguins do their mighty walk.
Ding, ding, ding.
Would you mate with me? I'd mate with me.
Just give me a second to put this bad boy out.
Yeah, so it's
penguin dick.
So it's happy.
I gave her that penguin dick last night. Yeah. You know how people always say that penguin dick? That black and white tuxedo dick.
Oh, it's like a cookie? Like it's cut down the middle?
I have health issues. I'm Tracy Morgan.
Penguin dick have you walking funny. Be wilding.
Penguin dick made for life. Penguin dick can't fly.
These are all the stereotypes about penguin dick, guys.
Me.
Yeah, I mean, we get the emails all the time, sure.
Do you want a penguin dick? Click here.
Well, I mean, I haven't tried it before, so...
It pops up on the internet regularly.
Keep getting emails from the North and South Pole. Wait, which one? I think it's South Pole.
South Pole.
So we need to make, like, an animal
cracker. Dirty South Pole.
We need to make an animal crackers where it's just the dicks of the animal kingdom, and that's what you're eating the whole time? It's
you
like,
know,
giraffe.
The Shark Tank did not like my anatomically correct animal crackers. Mm-hmm. And we lost profit every time we printed out a horse.
But you told
me...
That's a lot of cookie.
Yeah. You just told him... Oh, they were for scale?
Look, there's lots of flaws now. The sharks really didn't like my idea.
I mean, it's a cookie cake, basically, when you get to scale.
Cookie cake?
Oh! Yeah. What was it?
I market them specifically for children, and I heard the word dick everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, also, they were like five times larger than every child that would eat them. You know, hindsight's 2020, guys.
Well, I mean, bring a new phrase to just eat a dick, you know?
That's a market I did not tap in.
No. And I don't know if the world is better for it, but it certainly is different. That's the thing that we always have to go on when it comes to something that never actually happened. We have to assume that the world would be a different place if David's Dick, Cookie Dick Emporium, existed And he was hard at work. All I just imagine now is like, hey, David, you want to work on something? No, I'm busy making these dicks.
And then David would have...
And he's got little dick imprints everywhere because, you know, that's his flower that he's got everywhere. He's got the chef hat and all.
Well, I moved into a tree because I heard that's where the best cookies are.
He got to work hard because a rival female across the town opened up a cookie pussy. Dessert place.
Wait. Yeah. What'd they open up?
A cookie puzzle. Dessert place.
I feel like I would shoot a cookie puzzle with a BB gun to get off my property.
And David is running around making dick. He's saying like, this new pussy place is driving me crazy.
And then we do that classic commercial. Hey, you got a dick in my pussy. No, you got a pussy in my dick.
And then they became, not only did they become partners, They were able to take down every other cookie place and has become the national cookie of America. The end.
Thank you.
AKA, we're Oreo.
Yeah, that's how Oreo started. Yeah. Like, they had one making left hand, the other, like, the Twix commercials.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just bid off of Hydrox.
Yes.
But the movie Four Try.
Oh, we're talking about movies. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my bad.
We got all the dick jokes out the way, guys. We did minute one.
So. All right, cool. So... the first one we're going to watch is the 1985 version of Fortress, and this is the tagline. An Australian school teacher and her students are kidnapped. She and the children fight for their lives and try to escape from their captors.
So wait a minute. You mean to tell me we just talked about dicks and a little bit about pussy, and now we're about to talk about kids?
Dying.
Yeah.
Damn.
How else do they die?
Yeah. Cookies I was going to make for kids, but the market rejected me. It's the perfect time.
You know, it's called changing the subject and not bringing it up again, especially in the sentence, which I'm guessing you don't know how to do, Herman. No. And that's just talking
Why
about...
Why do you have to say my name? They didn't know who it was.
That's true.
Great. That's good.
The internet is so mysterious. Yeah. Oh, he's just – but that's why you add to your name. So you can. So that's what they do in witness protection. They don't change your name from David Vetrano. They add to it.
Now he has to change his name again. He originally was Jorge Simpson, the secret brother and key witness.
Now that's right. Now you have to change your name to
Hermano. They'll never catch on.
All right. So I've never heard of this film. They actually have a very nice copy online on YouTube if you ever want to take a gander. The second one we're watching today is not a good copy. I'm just warning you guys ahead of time just because I already looked at it.
From watching the trailer, the first movie that we're watching looks like it could almost go into like a work safety video at any time, just like the quality and just like how everybody looks in there.
Yeah.
Like, they could just kind of go like, now.
So what did Evan do wrong when it came to this kidnapping?
Yeah, exactly.
We have a 3-step process, and she didn't follow any of those steps.
Now, well, let's watch it again when Evan does it correctly this time.
You know, people don't want to upgrade. Like, I went and got a bar license 2 years ago, and they still using the old VHS tape showing the chimes getting busted. I was like, are y'all serious? Y'all don't want to upgrade?
And I think we should put in a copy of Fortress next time they try to do
yeah,
it.
An hour and a half long movie about kidnapping. Now you've learned how to wash your hands.
Like a broken synth playing in the background. Like, wee, 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 wee.
I just hired the dude with the missing arm, just like in Arrested Development. You know, just let it come up in natural circumstance where he loses the arm and he's like, and that's why we wear protective gloves.
And that's why we don't take a left turn on red.
And that's right. Why you don't put your hands out of the school bus.
Right, exactly. Everything that happens at a restaurant. Good job, guys.
We got 1, 2, and 3 on Family Feud.
And I'm here. I'm here like Steve Harvey, just nodding my head in shame every time. Because it doesn't matter what the answer is. Number one answer is penis. Second answer is vagina. Third answer is cookie cake. That's the way it works.
What's something you would bring on a picnic? ISIS.
The hell is wrong with you?
ISIS T.
ISIS T. Yeah, that famous rapper, ISIS Cream.
It's lemonade. It's Lem Grenade.
With that famous song of Fuck the Steel Girders. I remember that.
Fuck the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that.
I'm still a terrorist.
Don't worry. I'll become a cop on TV one day. All my past crimes will be forgiven. Woo-hoo!
It won't be personal. it'll be business.
Like, there's, you can actually find this on his Wikipedia. Like, he bragged about, like, Robin Banks for a little while. Like, mm-hmm. like he was a part
for
of
a
gang. Yes, for a hot minute. And very much like Ben Affleck in Live by Night, which is something I saw recently. So he just went around Robin Banks.
I bet Ice-T compares himself to Ben Affleck.
He does. That's what he thought of when he did that.
My childhood was much like, Ben Affleck and Live by Night.
I was born.
That's really the only way to describe it.
I was born from Irish immigrants, and I fell in love with the wrong crowd, you know, sort of thing. And now I'm rapping.
And he was born a poor white man on a dull dirt road.
Yep, exactly. All right.
It used to be like reindeer games with Ben Affleck. I want Ice-T to be a secret Ben Affleck fan so hard.
Why?
Secret?
just of all the people, that would be the guy he associates with. Yeah, it was kind of uncomfortable, like the back of a Volkswagen. Y'all know Mallrats.
Like, he just constantly references Ben Affleck.
Right, of course he does. I gotta go talk to my accountant.
So who would be his who would be his Matt Damon if that was Ben Affleck?
Ice Cube?
Are they buddies?
No, not really.
I know they were in Trespass together, which is a classic here on There Can Be Only One.
Yes.
Do you think Ice-T and Ice Cube had like a secret like underground parking lot meeting where they're like, "All right, we both have ice on our name.
<That's>
we
got
to confront this."
Right.
People are going to confuse us.
Tell you what, we'll make up a white guy. Come Vanilla Ice. Completely lose all credibility when it comes to the name Ice, and we'll both be doing family programming in 10 years. Hike! And then they left. Exactly. So
Ice 32.
Did you ever see Fear of a Black Hat? It's basically Spinal Tap, but for rappers, and they actually address the whole Ice thing as one of the group of people that just named themselves with ice in it, and they're all like in a particular corner, so they just rattled off all their names.
What's the name of this?
Fear of a Black Hat.
Okay. I thought they might have been like biting off of Iceberg Slim, so, you know, that's where I thought it came from.
Oh. What? How? Where?
The ice terminology. Like,
oh, where, why they call it, why Ice-T and Cube?
Well, Ice-T. Iceberg Slim used to be a notorious pimp back in the day. And Ice-T claims to be a pimp when he was growing up.
I hear you're the best pimp on the street. Well, I think we should have a pimp off. And then they just kind of walk around in circles doing like a peacock dance, trying to flutter each other like with their big suits. They're like,
I like that Ice-T like is building his resume right now. He's a bank robber. He was a pimp. It's going to be like one of those jackal or something like that. He has every occupation at least once.
Before Law and Order, he actually hosted. You can find a documentary on HBO. He actually hosted a pimp's ball, like
I remember because
he used to be a pimp, you know. It's amazing how much he's changed his life around that.
Guys, we got bank robber, we got mm-hmm. pimp, we got master of ceremonies,
right?
We got rapper.
He's a triple threat.
What can't he do?
Don't forget actor.
I think ice skating is in his future because that's all he's got left. In fact, he just calls it skating because it's just
me skating.
Me skate. Me skate around. Ah, me skate, not you. You sit in corner.
And then he married somebody named Coco.
Coco?
Yes.
I'm like, okay. Ice-T, you married somebody named Coco.
Yes, that's
don't
why.
You know ice melts with Coco?
I bet he felt really bad about that.
Okay.
Like, he was like, aw, damn, why did I marry this girl who I'm only after for her ass? And then, oh, yeah, I found out what her name is. And like, oh, the egg on my face. What was I doing? Why would I bother?
I would have avoided all this if I married Miss Lipton.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. That would have made so much more sense.
Lipton and iced tea.
Or cross your. That would have been fine, too. Or fitua. Like, you know, it could have easily... Is that how fitua tea? What's the terminology?
You had it in one.
Okay.
You could have really got John Mary Earl Grey.
So, my prediction going into this movie. My prediction going into this movie, not one kid's going to die.
All right, so the over-under is 5.5 kids.
That's how many kids involved?
There's 9. I'm saying over-under is 5.5.
Like, usually in these movies, one person dies. I think they're going to bring in someone to die.
So many dogs are dying.
Because like, they got a female teacher, and then you said five kids?
Nine.
Oh, nine? Oh, one of those kids are going
to
die.
When you do odds, I know a lot of you don't gamble here. You try to go for a middle number here. You don't go for like the high or the low. You say the over-under. So just say, you think over-under 5.5. Do you think it's under 5.5 kids
under,
or over?
It's under.
There's no way nine survive.
It's going to be under. I mean, Piggy died in Lord of Flies.
Well, okay, you got to think. There's going to be an older
male by kids. That's the important thing. Not since, I believe, the assault on Precinct 13 was there actually a blatant death of a kid, and that's the 70s version, not the new one that they had.
Okay,
with John Carpenter.
I was like, I didn't see that.
If you want to see the footage, it's just some girl holding an ice cream, and all of a sudden this dude comes up and goes right into her. Dang. Like, they were going to make it an NC-17 film because of that.
Okay.
So,
I wouldn't put it past Australians to do it, because I have a film called Wake and Fright, and they killed so many kangaroos in that. Like, so many.
Oh, so this is Australia from, not US made, but Australian made?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Oh, okay. Two gonna survive, so okay. I'm gonna say over.
Two are gonna survive.
Yeah.
All right.
I say one fodder older kid dies. like he's just like
the make a wish kid. He's like, my only dream was to attend class one day. I will strap the bomb.
Not the make a wish kid. I'm talking about like the guy that's like clearly too old to still be in school.
The guy that's wearing the red shirt.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like the Billy Madison of that group. Like his dad is a millionaire hotel owner
on the prairie.
Yeah. Okay.
Billy Madison on the prairie, and basically he gets killed off to prove the stakes of everything, like they are serious, and then everybody. So I'm gonna say eight survive.
All right, we got plenty of information now.
Robert, what do you guess?
I'm going under. They don't kill kids. Jesus Christ, you guys are stupid.
It's Australians. Everything kills everything down there.
Yeah, maybe a spider kills them. I don't know.
Well, there you go.
All right,
a dingo.
Does a dingo eat the baby?
Like for lunch, like it's like the babies they had left over. They're not just like eating a live baby.
Still a death. How many kids die?
I do like that the robbers in the picture had like masks to make the kids feel better, because it's like a duck and a bunny or whatever,
and like a Santa Claus esque thing.
Right. Yeah, like, oh, good. I'm getting kidnapped, but I might get presents afterwards.
But like, their intention was to make the kids feel better, but then it looks horrifically wrong.
Just like any costume from another time period, it always does that. Like, have you seen costumes like the Halloween costumes from like turn of the century, where somebody will wear it and basically it's a hollowed out skull of their older sister that didn't make birth.
Are
you know?
Serious?
And back at a ball party, it's like, oh, what a dainty costume Jeremiah is wearing.
It's not to say that they didn't care about death. It's just death happened all the time, that it was just secondhand. It's like, of course we had 12 children. That's so we can make four at least live to this point. Mm-hmm. And the rest of you are going to have to survive off these kids, because I am not making dessert. You know, like,
Samuel ripped off the head of a skeleton and is wearing it along with scarecrow hats. How cute.
But did he wash his hands afterwards?
No, that's why his whole family died.
Did you see the video that we made? Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. So you have dead children. What do you do with them? Well, I know that. I'm TV actor Alan Thicke, here to tell you what to do with all your children that are now dead.
You might remember me for some movies, such as
Not
Quite Human.
That's right.
Not Quite Human 2.
Was he in the sequel? Good for him.
I was about to say, I don't remember him from no damn movies. Shit.
He was in Titanic.
The Pains.
I didn't watch it.
He was in Avatar.
He wasn't in Avatar.
He was Footloose.
He was Footloose.
Yeah. There he was. Yeah, he was in all those films. So. He was in Star Wars. He's one of those little weird fuckers in the cantina.
He's the guy that had the titular line.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of all these Star Wars.
Something tell me y'all are being very sarcastic right now.
Do we watch movies here?
All right. We're definitely done talking.
Okay? Are you sure you want a little more?
No.
Yeah.
At a one-room schoolhouse in the Australian outback, on a not quite ordinary day, nine children and a teacher began to learn the lesson they would remember the rest of their lives.
We're going on a picnic.
A teacher and nine children stalked by terror.
You know how to catch a rabbit?
No, sir.
See, rabbits can't look straight ahead. So he come up on him from his blind spot, which is head on.
We've got to fight them! We outnumber them 4-1!
Can the tools of childhood be forged into weapons? Can courage build a fortress? Fortress, a lesson in survival.
Hey guys,
survival.
We're back! We just finished watching Fortress, the Australian classic from 1985, starring people we did not recognize as the kidnappers and the kidnappees. For anybody that hasn't seen it, which is everybody, it is, I guess, the closest thing to there's something magical about the 80s where they actually didn't mind putting kids in peril. And you find that there are movies out there today that are very similar. Mm-hmm. There's a movie called Cop Car that exists that has Kevin Bacon in it, and it's about these two kids that steal a cop car, and they find out what they've done is a lot worse than just stealing a cop car. Like this guy is going to not stop until he gets it back. And these kids are
like, no spoilers because everybody's waiting to watch Cop Car.
Mm-hmm. they should. but no, I'm just saying, like in most kids' movies, like you're Home Alone. You know that he's not gonna get hurt.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, just to let everybody know, there was no child death, but there was two elderly deaths.
Oh, definitely. Well,
they
died of old age.
There's a body count of two as opposed to I guess, do you really count the bad guys?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, and the old people, and a child did get grazed with a shotgun.
Well, I mean,
all right, so let's start from the front. It's every day in Australia, just like, oh, it's one of those small towns. If you've never seen a map, one of the things that'll surprise you is Australia is about as big as the continental United States. Like, it is, if you overlap them, it's about the same size, like, practically. The only big difference is that we have Alaska, and Alaska is huge. So you have a lot of space in between in some of these smaller cities, like the one that we're watching. To a point where only 9 kids go to school, and it's basically grade 1 through 8, maybe?
No, probably not 8, but yeah, give or take. Like 1 through
I think it's the whole school.
I think the youngest one was about 5 or 6. I'd say the oldest one was around 14.
Okay, that, give or take.
Yeah, that's about what these...
9th grade, 8th grade.
They had about a Mighty Ducks size of a classroom. That's about what we're looking at.
No, Mighty Ducks is bigger than them.
There were more than 9 Mighty Ducks?
Yeah.
I never seen the movie. Don't
okay, Goonies was 7.
Goonies is a good size. Yeah, like, okay. They're about Goonie size.
Okay. And they go right into the action. Like, there's nothing... they have a few quips about learning stuff. You know, yeah. Like, oh, teacher trying to teach us things. And all of a sudden, kidnapping!
Well, the thing is like, I was telling Robert, it's like, usually whenever they have these kind of things, like, what was it, like The Purge or something like that?
Right,
or like
right.
A horror movie? Like, somebody will think they saw something.
Right,
you know,
right.
They'll be like a corner of the eye or what was that kind of thing. And so there's a moment where, like, one of the masked guys is right there at the window and a kid sees it. And then everybody looks, and instead of him, like, darting out of the way, he just stands there. And it was just kind of like...
Teacher, Santa Claus is real!
So our
Hell, you shut up.
Our villains are Father Christmas.
Yes.
Mac the Mouse.
Pussycat.
It was a duck. Squabby Duck?
Squabby Duck or something.
Howard
like that.
The Duck is who he was.
Those are their masks that they're wearing as they perform this... thing for like
these masks were basically of don't hug me I'm scared weirdness. They were very very creepy type of masks that they had on. It's stuff that even like a Halloween Express wouldn't do. It's like, no, we have limits, we can't sell masks like this. And it's just to cover their faces. You really never find out why they kidnapped the kids other than, I guess, ransom?
I think they mentioned ransom. We kind of watched it at 1.25 speed, and they're also speaking Australian, so it's all like, look at the tits on that way. Oh,
so, by the way, why are you speaking Australian with a British accent? That's what I was trying to figure out.
So there's the teacher, and then there's the one girl who is coming of age.
That's true.
They do not fail to mention gangbanging the teacher nor raping the underage.
But it's not in both cases when it happens. It's not done too overly creepy. Like it could be. I'm not saying.
Yeah, and they're not making eye contact, but they're just kind of like joshing amongst themselves.
Right.
Like, look at the tits on that one. Let's get her alone.
Right. Don't confuse this as being like a PG film. But I could see this being shown to kids. at the same time. Like, this is probably something. Well, yes, that's right. No, when, my own kids. I would not mind them
if
watching.
If I watched this in 1985, I wouldn't know what a gangbang was.
Yeah, if I just, yeah, there's no nudity. Like, you know. Yeah, and really, kids don't know shit anymore.
So
you know?
Here's their great plan. They go to a school. They kidnap everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
They got everybody. They put them in a van. So what are they going to do? Oh, they're going to take them to their warehouse or take them to the next stage of the plan.
That's no. right.
Nope. They put them in a hole in the ground, an underground cave labyrinth thing.
Right.
That they and did then, not check out.
Well, yeah, that's well, that's the biggest problem.
I think they checked it out to a degree, but I mean, like, yeah, just it almost like a mine shaft, kind of like how it's just all stone, no materials kind of thing. And then they put a boulder over the entrance and just say, like, hey, stay put. They don't tell them anything. They don't, like, say, hey, we're going to get money for you or call a friend or, you know, like, there's no rhyme or reason.
The movie, usually when you have these kidnapping movies, and we've seen plenty of them because they don't try to come up with new names. Like when we saw Trapped and they had it was Kevin Bacon, Courtney Love, and Charlize Theron. It was all as much about the kidnappers as it was about the people being kidnapped. Mm-hmm. The kidnappers in this are just an obstacle. They're not. Yeah. There's nothing to them. You don't develop a personality. None of them seem
they might
that
as well be the Foot Clan.
Right. Yeah, exactly. why weren't they? Why did they have to get four different masks? That made no sense. Just to tell themselves apart because that wasn't smart enough because they kept using their real name. That was these people were not the smartest kidnappers, but it wasn't like
– Now, speaking of the smartest, this like kindergarten classroom as a whole, like let's just put the teacher aside. Like as a whole,
right.
They were ready to go to war so quickly. Like,
yeah.
They were like, all right, children, what does the boulder on top of the cave mean? It means they went away, miss. That's right. So we can start planning our escape.
No, she said she when she got him around to say that, said, let's do a war council. Yeah. When she said that, I was like, what?
Well, that's her fun way of saying, like, but, like, she's, like logically walking through the kids through the step of a kidnapping. She's
right,
like,
right, she's right.
Like, so they left, so let's go ahead and do this. And then she makes, like, a makeshift candle because everybody knows how to do that with salad dressing, a shoelace, and a tin can.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, like, it makes sense, but she was, like, so prepared for it. Like,
I think America's in trouble, man. We in trouble, bro, because, like, we wasn't getting this kind of I was their age back in 1985.
Yeah, if I was the teacher, I'd just be wandering around trying to get a bar on like a Samsung. That's all I'd be doing is the whole time. Come on, I know I can hit something.
These kids over there have a lot of big weapons out of spears and everything. You give me a stick, I'd just be like just making circles in the dirt with it.
So they get thrown in a cave, but lo and behold, there's of course an exit to the cave.
Mm-hmm.
So they all exit through the cave. There's one near drowning scene, which they just needed for a little mild suspense. But then they're walking, and they find civilization. So they go to this little farmhouse. Hi, ma'am, can we use your phone? Guess who's in the house already?
they came here before you, and we said we'd become part of their gang.
Grandma puts on the mask. So this little elderly couple has already been taken over by the villains of the movie. So all the kids get shuttled back in, and then they have to cook the dinner for the villains, and they accidentally use each other's names, and then they get put out into the barn house. And then that's when the plot to overthrow them happens.
Right, because they realize these kidnappers mean business because you can't kill kids, but you certainly can kill the grandmother and grandfather of the place.
They did not last a moment.
I know.
Like, hi, my name is Blam.
Your name is Thanks for the Dinner.
Yeah.
Guess who's not cleaning up the dishes?
You are.
Nobody. And I'm ruining your fish, too, just so you don't have to worry about them dying.
The real victim was all the fish.
Yeah,
the
fish tank. Yeah, so it's when these kids realize not only that they have to get out of there.
But they are so bloodthirsty.
Right. Right, they find all sorts of shit in that barn, and they take care of two of the kidnappers. We're down to two after that point.
Just got clubbed, but then got left in the burning barn.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think they finished him, but
yes.
So under our assumption, this wasn't like played out for us, but as they're running away from the barn, the teacher takes a turn and she sees one of the masked guys.
Uh-huh.
Then all of a sudden, his head pulls away from his body like he's put on a scarecrow stake.
Right, right.
And at first, I was like, looked at Robert, was like, is this like a movie where there's actually like a hidden monster, and this is gonna be like a Dust Till Dawn like twist? But I guess to the best of our knowledge, the two boys that did the scouting mission apparently decapitated one of these grown men and then put his body on a stake.
Yep.
As a warning. So, like, before she even gave the, like, all clear sign for kill, these kids were killing at an accelerated level. They were killing at 11th grade level.
So they decide to go out to a cave and make it their fortress. Like, this is essentially where the title comes from. They create their own home base in order to make them prepared for a next attack. And it felt like, based off of what they made, it should have been weeks. But I guess it was just a day, because they know how to make spears.
Yeah, it's like, hey, children, make some spears. The next thing you know, they have, like,
awesome,
intricate, like, spears with, like, five prongs sticking out, tridents out of school supplies that they apparently still had. There was at least 200 spears.
Right. It's not like where if I were to be told to make a spear, I would break a stick in half and say, this is kind of sharp.
Yeah.
Spear.
They're like burning it and like cutting it down, and then they're like implementing metal into them and scissors and things like that. Like,
yeah, the only way that I would have been able to do it is like, hey, look, I found this javelin furlough, so I'll just use that as our spears now. We've got all these spears.
But I mean, they go to goddamn, and then they have like a freaking Rambo, like
traps,
like where boulders, like the limb swings over and spikes you, and then they have like a spear pit. They had a boulder trap and all that kind of stuff.
Whoever does, you know, for the people that make YouTube videos about how to make things, that's the one thing that you don't see a lot of, homemade traps. Do you? I mean, I don't see too many people trying to recreate these particular traps.
Well, I'm about to start my YouTube channel.
That's what
now.
You should.
Yes.
You got three kids.
Yes.
Turn them into murderous fiends that are thirsting for the death of anybody that tries to mess with them.
So we're down two villains, and two villains are still out there. One of them, the mouse, apparently is one step away from calling out the warriors. The whole time he's in the wilderness, he's like, "Hey, children!"
Come
and then he keeps,
yeah,
and then he keeps like saying he's going to rape that one girl with the tits.
Right, right.
He's the horny one, in the boy band.
Yeah, they basically went on chat roulette and just they found the dude that jerked off the whole time. Yeah. And
you mean everyone on chat roulette?
yes, exactly.
Wait,
except
I
Ben.
Don't, I don't want to know. I don't. I want to ask you what is chat roulette, because I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you don't need to know.
It's where you want to see white dicks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I gotta write it down.
David's been like, yes, that'll make a great cookie. Oh, yes.
Yes. See, Rob, you we
I'll make you
go.
A cookie like now one of my French girls. So, Mousy Mouser, whatever it was, Mac the Mouse. He's the first to fall prone to. Well, he dodges one of the traps, which I really thought he was going to get skewered.
Prone is the right word.
Yeah, yeah. And then he gets boulders dropped on him, which he dodges.
Yes.
And then he gets pushed into a spike pit.
Hey, you did notice he was wearing clothes the whole time. That made him a modest mouse.
I ran into some kindergartners the other day. They killed my friends and then I ran away.
I don't get it.
You know a modest mouse?
No.
Oh, okay.
I heard Mighty Mouse.
But what was the other thing I wanted to mention about him?
He was definitely going after the little girl at first, because she was the one that kind of whether she knew it or not, they needed somebody to move the plot along, and for her to be like, I'm the curse, I need to get away from these guys, and she's like, no, and the teacher chases after her, and then the teacher's like, oh shit, all I have is a pencil, I forgot all 9,000 spears,
like a scalpel or something, almost, yeah,
right,
and then all of a sudden she uppercuts him on the pit stage in Mortal Kombat, and he falls backwards onto the spikes.
Yeah, that was a big finish them moment, and he was like, yeah, he was done.
It was great because they had this really great prop moment, or I forget the term for it, where finally Father Christmas is looking for his buddy.
Yeah,
and we look at him, and God, for a villain, he just looks like...
Yeah, they look like, oh, I see why they were hard up for, I guess, their parents' money or something. Like, you could tell, like, they were just looking at, hey, let's just kidnap kids. That seems like the smart move. Yeah. Like,
so he looks for his friend and he sees him, and then he looks over at him. It's the moment where the spikes come through his chest.
Yeah,
what a great effect. Like, they didn't have to do that. Yeah, exactly. Like, gravity pushed all of a sudden, and just all of a sudden, through his chest, the wooden spikes come through.
It's it was pretty sweet. Yeah, that was fun.
And there wasn't
like a huge confrontation at the end with this other dude. He just got angry at him, ran into a cave.
He saw red. He fell on the very first tripwire, which then landed him square in their fire. And then so it's like, okay, so what trap's going to – oh, God, all the children are around him stabbing him.
Yeah, this was like basically a Ronda Rousey fight. Like they were just like, it's over in 40 seconds. It's done. They're just like, like, you're dead. After he's dead, they're not done. They're making sure he is gone. Like, there is no trace of this dude
it's
left.
It's basically the end of Platoon, but without bullets, but with spears.
It's what they did to RoboCop. Yeah, like, whenever they're just constantly getting riddled with spears. Yeah.
And they laugh and they smile. I'm like...
Oh, yeah, and then after they kill him, they're all running around cheering, and I thought the teacher was going to be like, no, murder. You have to, like, you know, like, this is a single individual. And she's like... That was fun. When does it turn like?
Right. And then afterwards, now this is the weird part, is they did an epilogue at the end. Where everybody's back. At first, I thought this was like a story the teacher was telling them the whole time. Then I was like,
I got so pissed off when I thought that was happening. I was like, no.
Well, they had the kid with the busted leg, and I was like, no, this makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So the cops come over and it's like, look, you got to tell us something different from your statement, because your statement says that they had. Like, the elements took care of these guys.
Yeah, animals made those marks.
Yeah, it was definitely... And in knowing Australian animals, anybody that's been online, you know that's possible, because those things are vicious, and they can do whatever they want.
So while the cops are getting the statement from the teacher,
one
by one, the students surround the cops in the classroom.
It becomes a very Children of the Corn situation.
Yes, they're just staring at him like, do you really want to go down this rabbit hole? You just had to keep asking questions.
Oh, look what I found on you guys. More masks. I guess you were part of the group, weren't you, huh?
But eventually the cops, like, kind of back down and stuff like that. And then they go back to business as usual.
Yep, back to school.
But the whole time in the classroom, I think I had I mentioned this to Robert. You know, there's, like, little art displays on the walls, and there's actually, like, a boomerang and stuff like that for, like, history and artifact. And then there's, like, this whole little section with, like, you know, a pickled frog and, like, all these, like, different, like, science things. And they zoom in, and the last shot is a human heart in a jar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we had to think of it. Was that Santa Claus's heart?
The thing is, like, I might need to see the beginning of the movie to make sure there wasn't a heart there, and that was just the image they decided to end on. Also, end part of the movie, Sid was talking to the teacher. Were they... Is there a will there, won't they kind of be there?
Oh, no.
I'm just saying, like, they made a point saying, like, Sid, why are you still here? Is one of the lines she says, and it's like, oh, I was waiting for you, miss.
No, I think that was her brother. Didn't they stay together, like... At the same house? Like, didn't they walk to school together?
Oh, wait. Well, I can't remember. Then he was ogling his older sister's tits in the,
whatever.
In the waterfall scene.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. All right, so I understand why the title of Fortress happened as like the moment where they decided to, I guess, defend themselves. But there wasn't that moment where they weren't defending themselves.
Yeah.
They were constantly thinking about trying to get over on these guys. I think this is going to be tough for it to keep the title without seeing the other movie.
It's going to change his name, but I'm scared, though.
I was trying to think of the exact words for it, and I was trying to remember the Ion Springfield piece that Kent Brockman had about the military, and he called it the Killbot Factory. And I was like, that's a perfect name for this movie, because that's essentially what they did. They turned these kids into homicidal maniacs, and like they are all like separate serial killers, and you could see it in their eyes that they could do something.
I agree with Herman. This one's going to be hard to hold the title, because mainly like they're running so much. I mean, they eventually stand their ground. But
right.
It's kind of like they're running gun, but like you said, they turned the kids into killing machines. So that's why my alternate title is Lord of the Wallabies.
Oh. All right, you don't like Midnight Foils?
Like, all they needed was a piggy with a conch. I mean, a piggy with a koala. I mean,
what were the other big NXS? How can we do NXS in the title? trying to think of other Australian bands. Let's see.
I also thought of Kindergarten Crocodile Dundee.
Is it Queen Australia?
Russell Croak. I think he's New Zealand. I'm not sure. Yeah. He might be. Damn it.
Nicole Kidman. I don't know. Kidman.
Killman. Nicole Killman.
I don't know. This
Nicole. Nicole Killman in Nicole Blood.
It was all a kangaroos. Kangaroos.
Kangaroos. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. That's such a great title. Okay, so we're gonna go watch. Because we're hard up for time, we're going to go watch the other movie.
Why? Did I talk too much, Robert? What's the problem?
I have no idea how did that happen. So. Okay, here's the trailer for the other movie.
30 stories below ground. Halfway to hell. And no way out.
What do they give you?
31 years.
You are about to enter the fortress. A privately owned maximum security prison operated by the Mentel Corporation.
John Brennan. Most decorated captain in the history of the Black Beret.
Prisoner 95763, step forward to be intestinated.
You have nothing. You are nothing.
We will monitor your behavior.
I don't think you realize your predicament. You have nowhere to hide.
We will control your thoughts.
The law is clear. We must maintain the population balance.
We will invade your dreams.
This is an unauthorized thought process.
Back now.
What are you doing in that fortress of solitude, big boy?
Oh, maybe that's the name of the movie.
So we just watched this Stuart Gordon classic, Fortress, starring Christopher Lambert, Jeffrey Combs, and Red from That 70s Show. I forget his name.
Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah, that's it. Kurtwood Smith.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah, he looked at it before.
Well, no, he was in RoboCop.
Yeah, he was a bad guy in RoboCop. Yeah, this was his heyday. This is like where he's swinging the fences. This is what I do, man. Yeah. I'm a bad guy. This time I'm half machine.
Back in the day when him and Michael Ironsides were like constantly fighting for every role.
It's like, all right, you can take like the north of America. Yeah. I'll take the south, right at the divide.
What you doing on my turf, dumbass?
Yeah.
All right.
So, right. This movie is all about a futuristic society where there are certain rules and litigations, mainly overpopulation.
The best stuff about post-apocalyptic movies is taking what somebody has like an ideal and then just pushing it to the very edge of a possibility. So it's something that infuriated me as a kid because I always thought that they didn't have any hope for us as a kid. Like, if you ever watched, like, Terminator and the world's gonna end, you felt bad. Did you feel bad when you watched that? Like, man, you really don't think much of us, do you? Like, as like, human beings, that we're gonna end the world. Like, it's our fault. Like, we're the generation that's gonna do it.
Yeah. Everything's gonna be in a Demolition Man future.
It wasn't until I realized they're not doing this because they just have a glass half empty of the future. It's just, how else are you gonna make a movie? Because making a movie about like the future being awesome is stupid.
Yeah.
Why would you watch that? That's not that even the ones where the future seems all right, like Demolition Man. It's based off of Brave New World, so you know, like they're kind of making fun of that whole scenario. Like, oh, we, you know, like, this is what we have to do in order to actually become good. You know, so in this case, the future is we're under baby control. You can't have abortions. What's the other solution? Prison. Why not? Yeah. So you have a very highly decorated man, Christopher Lambert, and
the most decorated of the black
berets.
Black berets. Not even green. They went a step beyond.
Right.
And he's the A number one guy.
Right. He's the best. He's the best there is because he's Christopher Lambert. It's what you expect. And he gets a girl pregnant. So they thought, might as well go to Mexico.
The best at that.
Go to Sewan Teneo and hang out with my friend Andy Dufresne, who's been down there the entire time.
Good old Andy.
Yeah. And
so they find out she's wearing a flak jacket to protect her from pregnancy scans. So he makes a break, and she thinks he gets captured, but she gets away. So he goes to prison with a smile on his face.
Yeah. A little Lambert is out there in the world.
So there's the whole rigmarole kind of setting up the rules of the prison.
Right.
Okay? So it's like, what is this? It's underground, right?
Yes. Yeah, very much.
33 Stories Underground.
So underground, you strip naked, and the very first thing they do is they put your head in one of those like shaming things, like they did in medieval times, and then a tube goes down your throat, and you get an intestinal torture device, like a little sphere thing, and basically whenever they deem it so, they can either explode it, or they can call, what do they call it, intestinate?
Yeah.
Right.
Abdominal pain.
And it causes you severe abdominal pain, so you stop what you're doing and you clutch your stomach.
It's called, they give you the Taco Bells. That's what they do. They make you feel bad. Ayo!
But you can't run for the border.
Nope, you can't, because then they'll catch you.
So basically, you know, once we set up the rules of don't touch, if you touch the yellow line, you get intestinal pain. If you touch the red line, your stomach explodes like you're giving birth to an alien. And so it
sucks if you're colorblind the whole time. You're like, what line? What do I not touch?
So then they set all that up. And then the next thing you know, it's prison rules. Not prison rules, but it's social prison rules.
Right.
Where they get in the cell block and they meet the two big bads who are going to make their lives a little bit harder.
They're the bads that they realize, hey, what are we fighting in for when there's a bigger problem in the process? They're those bads. When you have like, well, gotta rape somebody, you know, like that's basically how it is. This movie is there to create conflict for Christopher Lambert, because you should leave that dude alone because he's a killing machine and you gotta leave him be.
He's not Henry Silva now.
I said he's a killing machine. Henry Silva is a murder machine. There is a difference.
So lo and behold, our main character gets in a fight with the rough guys, their little prison motley crew, and so he meets the warden,
right?
Poe, who is Red Foreman,
right,
from that 70s show. Yeah. And he lets him know, "Hey,
what's the name of that 70s show?
Was that?
What's the name of that 70s show?
It's the one before that 80s
Morgan
show.
Morgan Mindy.
Oh, okay.
And so basically, he finds out, hey, your wife didn't get away. I've been watching her very creepily, like."
I've been hooking myself up to a machine and watching her nonstop.
So also another thing you need to know is the foreman runs the joint with the computer intelligence called Zed. Now,
did you do that on purpose, calling him the foreman, Red Foreman?
That's the only way I know him. Like, I keep saying his name wrong unless I say that. But basically,
yeah, no, that's fine.
It's a give and take relationship.
Sure.
He doesn't control Zed. Zed has like a partnership in controlling the thing.
Right.
So they
kind
of work together to keep the prison in control.
Yep, that they do. And so during the time that everybody starts to realize that they shouldn't do the inside fighting, Red decides to make Christopher Lambert's wife his own and wipe him of all memory so he becomes like nothing. But the wife's got other plans. She
used to be a military computer genius or something.
Yeah, of course.
Like that.
She
was in the Pink Berets.
Most decorated of the Pink Berets.
Right. That's right. So she's able to restore his mind and also maybe implant an idea of, hey, maybe I should escape from this stupid thing.
Because they can get into your dreams. If you have bad dreams, they give you intestinate.
That was a pretty funny scene at the beginning.
It's not bad dreams. It's good dreams. But
if you have any dreams of freedom or happy things, they don't like that.
Yeah. Right.
Anything. But there was a lot of like,
if you dream of that 70s show, you're okay.
Yeah.
Hey, remember that show where Fez is like, look at me.
I'm foreign. Oh, I love that joke. So basically, they have pretty much like an Ocean's 11 kind of plot to get the gang back together and to get out of there.
Right. You have Jeffrey Combs there, who is in every Student Gordon film as the tech expert, who's able to take the device that is inside of you and basically use it as a bomb. And he's also able to use another device to take it out of a person. So
just think of the thing in your intestines as a little metal ball. Uh-huh. He basically develops a magnet that he rubs along your chest to guide the ball along your intestines and out your throat.
Uh-huh.
And that's how he gets it out.
Just like those games that you have like at Celebration Station whenever you're trying to win like a PlayStation or whatever. You know, you're just trying to guide it in there.
Nice and slow, but it's slow.
Don't hit the sides. This is a game of operation here. You want to... Then their noses turn red and then they explode. So,
well, it turns out that apparently the warden of the prison has gotten a little too fond, and it's because of his fondness of the other guy's wife
that
the computer decides he's not fit to run anymore.
Mm-hmm. He's like, my wife. And then Christopher Lambert's like, no, my wife.
So the prison break starts happening and all these kind of things. Their plan's going perfectly. But one by one, the crew kind of gets picked off.
Right.
And then finally, he gets the warden at gunpoint. But they have his wife on the a delivery table, and they're going to kill her to deliver the baby.
Yes.
But whenever
the worst midwives ever.
But whenever the warden gives the call not to kill the wife, the computer says, hell no, and explodes his Oh, yeah. Also, we forgot to mention, the warden, part human, part robot.
Yeah, he's able to not sleep or eat if he just hooks himself up to a machine once a month, which is very tempting.
Amino acids,
yeah.
Yeah, if you had that ability, would you do it to where you didn't sleep ever again, but you had to be, like, you're definitely part machine the rest of your life?
I mean, it sucks.
You wouldn't eat anymore.
It'd suck for TSA, but the money you save on food alone.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah, your electricity bill might go through the roof, but...
But I'd be working extra hours, so it'd be cool.
Yeah.
I would just drive to the nearest Whole Foods and plug into the electrical car outlet there.
Yeah. Did you want any food? No, I can't eat any. Nah. Thank you. Appreciate
it. I'm full. But, and so basically he goes and... It's all hazy, but they hack into the system. They upload a virus into the machine. They get her off the pregnancy table, and they get a car, and they zoom out.
And it's happily ever after until Fortress 2, which is a thing.
But I got to say, usually it's neuroimplants. It was interesting how they had the intestinal beacon for control this time.
That is definitely Stuart Gordon all the way. That dude likes to explode and have things all guts going everywhere. And that movie has this... In buckets, like it just throws it out there for you. Yeah. I do think out of both the movies, this one deserves to be called Fortress more than the first one we saw.
100% agree, because I mean, like the prison's a fortress,
right?
I mean, it just fit better than the other one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did find some interesting trivia about this. This movie was made on a $15 million budget, but it was slated to have a $60 to $75 million budget because it was supposed to have another actor in it. Who y'all thought?
Steven Seagal.
Close.
Steven Seagal's brother.
No, you're not close.
Steven Seagal.
Who you think will play a better? Who you thought that this character reminds?
Is it Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No,
Arnold.
There you go.
Oh, it's supposed to be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold did the remake or something like that.
His body double was in the Reanimator. That's why I was saying I've been hearing about it now. And Arnold liked it so much. He actually wanted to do this picture, but guess what he dropped out this film to do?
Probably Terminator 2.
No.
It was around the same time. Total Recall. Kindergarten Cop.
I just tell you, it was one of his...
Junior.
It was one of the flops.
Flops. Well, it certainly isn't anything that I've seen with Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he does not flop at all.
I liked this movie, but people say
his politics might flip.
Last Action Hero. He dropped out to do the Last Action Hero.
All right, fair enough.
So the budget dropped from $75 million to $15 million when it got Christopher Lambert.
It still looked good. Yeah. I had no problem with what I watched.
I mean, for the most part, you know, the backgrounds and all the futuristic things were, you know.
Speaking of background, they actually did shot this in a real prison.
Oh, okay.
And the people had to sign a waiver saying that they didn't mind getting kidnapped or something. Like, they wouldn't want to be rescued if they got held hostage by the real prisoner, like a rival.
Oh.
And they gave them, they actually gave them flat jackets. Mm-hmm. And when
because they were all pregnant.
No, when dudes passed them out saying, yeah, if a riot break out, this is not really going to help you because they usually go for the highs. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay.
Yeah, unless it's like a shiv protection blanket, I don't think that's going
to
help in any.
It's a magnetic vest, so when I try to stab you with metal, it goes, ah! Yeah.
It goes right for the groin. No!
So the movie did look real good, budget-wise and everything. I mean, I did like this movie.
It's a dumb, fun action flick.
Yeah.
Yep, and it can be called Fortress. The other one is called Kangaroos. Yes.
Alternate title, though. Shawshank Intestine.
Oh, I like that.
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, so anything else? Anybody want to say anything more?
Happy Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th.
That was 7 days ago.
7 days ago.
I don't release this tonight. I don't know what you guys are thinking. That's not stupid.
Also, happy birthday to me.
What?
Oh, happy birthday, man.
David Vetrano, 22 years old.
Oh, gee, golly. That's what it says in this comment. Can't go back.
All right. So, 4 Notes There Can Be Only One Podcast. My name is Robert Rao.
Herman Omega Prime Dave.
And this was David Petrano.
Good night, guys.
Eat my dick cookies.
Where did that subliminal message come from?
Consume.
I had to move everything previously, so I have to test the levels and stuff. Herman, you have to... You can't pull your diva shit on this time. You have to actually talk into the microphone.
What, I can't... What do you mean?
You can be like...
You gotta pull some Mariah Carey bullshit. It's like, I can't hear my own voice.
Yes. It's a sound production. Yes.
You look like what Trump did to make fun of that one reporter is what you were doing.
No, he went like this. Like a broken hand.
I have no idea why he wanted to be a waiter. He can hold a towel. That's about all he can do. That's more of a butler thing, I think.
Your towel, sir. Are you channeling the dude from Scary Movie, Chris Evans? Yeah.
He's in my strong hand.
I would enjoy like a Chris Evans in Scary Movie playing that retarded butler. I'll take any of the other, like a Chris from the Marvel films. Give me Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, even a Chris Pine. I know that's Star Trek, but still, something like a nice.
Chris Pine was in Marvel.
Was he in Marvel?
Yeah, he used to.
Oh yeah, he's wonderful.
Wasn't he?
No, that's Chris Evans.
That's Chris Evans.
So if they still did Celebrity Deathmatch, which of the Chris's do you think would win?
Chris Rock. Yeah.
Nah.
Rock beats Evans is how they put it.
That's what you would say every time. First time would be hilarious. Fifth time would be dumb.
Christopher Reeve.
Until Chris Paper showed up for some reason.
They would just leave him alone. They just leave his corpse alone.
Yeah, Chris Reeve was just, basically. He can't lose.
All right.
Chris Kringle.
We got enough.
You want a little more? Don't stop
leaving.
All
right. Hold on to that feeling.
All right, let me just turn down that.
You miss me, Robert?
Every day.